Blog
and welcome to Awakening, part of the Converging Flow. You were listening to a bit of Elements of Grace by Diane Garris, actually a former guest on this program also. And I'm your host, also known as co-pilot, Michelle Mache, for those of you. Very interesting that I hope people can hear me. We had a little, Blog Talk did some changes. I see a new chat rooms, and I'm just wondering if something was done to the sound. So I'm going to just check in and see. Hello, all. I want to hear, is there sound? Because, Barbara, are you with us? Okay, so show on but not streaming. So I'm going to try to call back in again. I hope I'm not locked out. No sound. Okay, I'm not sure what happened, but Blog Talk made some changes, tech changes. So maybe now can everybody, you hear it now. Yay. I don't know what happened, everyone. I was doing my intro, welcoming everyone. and then... So let's chalk it up to a little, technical mishap, I suppose. So those of you that are just perhaps tuning in right now or just now getting sound, you have surfed into Awakening, which is part of the Converging Flow. And what is that? That's all are converging, all places, all sectors, to connect in and share our stories, our insight of spiritual awakening and the succession of awakenings that are taking place, the changes that are happening individually as well as collectively, and to get information to track these individual and collective changes. Very important time that we're all in right now, and very blessed to be a part of it. It's happening to us, through us, as us. How's that? Let's see, I just want to make sure, can you hear me? And then I will recall our guest. Sometimes, there's little tech mishappenings. Those of you that are just perhaps new to Awakenings, you can be in the chat. You can, if you register, you can actually, you'll be able to respond, which is really quite wonderful, because we have a wonderful chat room, which is also known as the Sacreds of Empowerment. You can register. It's very easy to do, name and I think email, or you can just listen and just be a guest. You can also call in at 347-539-5122, and that number is 347-539-5122. And if you have a question and you're on the switchboard, you just press the number 1 and I'll see a hand go up. Or if you've been waiting on the line a bit, I will still check in with you, because some people actually listen while they're driving or doing so they can be listening by phone, so which is wonderful. And so a lot of people ask, well, why this Awakenings? What you will find is, and you can actually listen to some of the archives, that Awakenings happens for different people. Part of what I feel it is a call to live your life more authentically. Are you more in tune, more psychic, more or are you wanting just to live more consciously, more awake, more aware? Are you aware that you're not just a mind and a body? Are you aware that your mind and your body influence each other? That taking care of the body helps the mind, and taking care of the mind helps the body. Perhaps you are using tools for transformation or life enhancement. So it's really a place to live in a more expanded, come to a place of self-realization, and from that self-realization to move into actualization. In other words, how do you want to use what you've realized about yourself to live more authentically and to share that with others? And awakening also has to do with wholeness, being whole, complete, all parts of yourself, all parts of others, all parts of life, all parts of the world, all parts of the globe, all parts of the universe, and that all sentient beings are part of this divine play of consciousness, and they're here as well as live amongst us. Okay, not sure what's happening, but the switchboard is not allowing me to stay connected in. So I am not sure what's happening. I'm not touching anything, honest. The switchboard's up. I'm patched into the phone. And
hey, Barbara.
Barbara?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Awakenings. I'm not sure what's happening on the switchboard side, but on the Blog Talk side, but we lost... We lost contact there.
Yes, and they're still saying in chat room that there's no sound.
Mm. Okay, well, maybe it'll come back. Maybe they can refresh.
At the point where you introduced by your name, we got disconnected, we came back up, and then I got disconnected from you. It came back up in the chat room, and then it went away again.
Well, now I hear someone saying, Wise is saying, finally sound.
Cool.
Okay, cool. Well, welcome again. Third time's a charm. I think this is the third time. Yeah, so I was introducing you to, many know of you, but I'll just recap a little bit that basically you're a professional animal communicator, and you've been doing this for quite a while. And as you say, you use your intuition and the ability to quiet your mind. You're able to translate what the animal beings are thinking, feeling, and why they do some of the things that they do. And as of course many people know or should know by now, since there is, you know, we move beyond locality to do this, you're able to do this by phone. Now, Barbara, just for some people that might be new to this, if you can explain a little bit of what an animal communicator is and what it is not.
Okay, excellent. And hello to everyone out there. Animal communication is an intuitive ability that is a mind-to-mind connection, mm-hmm. and animals do it with each other all the time. And they also do it with humans, and they can hear what we're thinking, but we're not aware that there's that connection going on back and forth. Mm-hmm. So they can always listen to our thoughts and our emotions, and they send us thoughts and emotions. And many times we act on them, these thoughts and emotions, without even noticing it. And so... it's just your basic intuition, like when you think about someone you haven't thought about for a long time, and then they call you. It's that same stream. And so what animal communicators are doing is we practice and focus and open up our intuition so that... Hi, Michelle.
Hi. How'd you know it's me? Oh, gosh. I'm sorry about that. I cannot even. And some very strange things are happening, too. It's like the switchboard goes down, then it and there's no sound, and then it says reconnecting. The chat room, something will come on and say reconnecting. And count me down.
It's a huge energy surge.
Yeah. Between that and
I put a few things in there. I said, you're not missing anything that I'm saying since I'm getting cut off also.
Okay.
I said animals would probably just be patient at this point and think about something fun they like to do. And so people are putting up smiley faces and hearts and patience. And oh, now they can hear.
Oh, good. Okay. Good. Okay. Yeah, and that's an interesting thing, too, because the sound, it'll show that I have sound for a while, it'll show that I'm on air, and then I'm talking away, and then all of a sudden I'll hear people saying there's no sound. So some kind of delay going on.
Mercury and Bong Talk Radio, what a combo.
Yeah, Mercury retrograde. Yeah, exactly. And we're in the middle. And you said power surge. We are in the middle of a gateway, a portal of light. Every May, June of the last since 2003, and December, January. So there is a bit of a surge of energy overload. Let's put it that way. Intensification.
Talk about that. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah. Okay. Now, one thing I wanted to know, Barbara, because you were talking about basically that the animal before we got so rudely interrupted. Not even just interrupted, disconnected, rudely disconnected. You were saying basically that these messages were going back and forth between us and our animal beings all the time, but we're not aware of it.
Well, we're not conscious of the fact that the thoughts that are coming to us are coming from our animals, like some of the thoughts. So just a real basic example, and, you know, animals do tune out after a while. They'll listen to what we're thinking about. But a basic example is you may be leaving the house and you're...
Okay, we're back again. I'm going to ask if it happens again to call, because it seems to be that I lose contact with Barbara.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Boy, if it happens again, will you call in? Because it seems like it's the connection, it's I lose you, I hear you talking, and then we're still on, and then it just everything goes. So I don't know if there's what's going on, but...
Okay, I'll give you a different number I'll call in on. Is that okay? It's a 925 area code, so when you see
okay, you did before. Okay, got it.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll just call in on that. Okay.
Okay. Now, one thing you're starting to say is that sometimes, like when we're leaving, you said that we're getting a message from our animal beings, our animal friends, unconsciously. We may not know, but they could, like, beam us a message or something. Is that what you were...
Yes, it's just that they can send thoughts, just like when you think about a person you haven't thought about for a really long time on the other side of the country, and the next day they call you, that is because either they were thinking about you first and you got the hit, or you were thinking about them first.
Mm.
And so animals shoot us thoughts all the time and when they need something, and or just when they want to tell us how much they love us. And it's just, people will hire me because they're not, quote unquote, sure what their animal's saying to them. And in many of the cases, after the conversation, they're like, oh, I knew that. That's exactly what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And after sessions with an animal communicator, many people just right away start having regular conversations with their animal because they realize that it's been going on all along.
That is
fascinating. This can go on for animals that are here on the planet, and animals that have crossed over that are connected to us energetically, they can still help us mm-hmm. After they've crossed over.
So there, and very often, and that's a good point too, that a lot of times people say when they, you know, cross over that they see their, you know, or someone's had a session with somebody, you know, channeling that, oh, my dog was there, or my dad's dog was there, or little Blackie was there, or the little dog. What do you make of that?
You know, I really love that. And, yes, that's happened for many, many people. They'll go to a psychic or a channeler, and they'll want to connect in with the essence of their father. And the channeler or psychic will start describing three or four dogs.
Mm.
And they will, this happened to a very good friend of mine, and the three or four dogs are the three or four dogs he had during his lifetime. And they're all sitting there in the picture for the channeler who knows nothing about it.
Mm.
And then people who have been on the operating table and gone to the light, but then they end up coming back and they can tell us about their near-death experience. Many of them say that the first thing they see are their animals running towards them.
Mm.
And that gives me a big chill because I'm waiting to see mine.
Oh, gosh, yeah. So it's interesting. They really are, in a sense, just another form. I mean, they're just, you know, I mean, they are another form, so they would be in that same place, right, the ethers, I guess,
yes,
is one
me,
way to
put it. Well, to me, if you can imagine, they're another soul.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Yeah, and I just love when the blog and the woman on the chat will say, you know, it appears you're logging back into a live show. Yes, it does appear that, doesn't it? Oh gosh. Anyway, how do you look at the animal beings that you were starting to say about their soul?
What I was saying was that, and today with what I want to talk about, is that animals are souls or have souls, or however we want to look at it, just the same way as humans do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when their soul crosses over, it becomes the pure essence of everything that they ever were as an animal, just like humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's love and bliss. And so what happens for when a client contacts me and they have an animal that's passed over, they with a picture, and I am able to connect into that animal without any other information from them and give them a lot of very spiritual and blissful information from the animal that they relate to because it's actual things that happened when they were together with the human. Like they'll talk about, whatever, birthday parties, or they'll talk about, I was famous for agility. And they'll give at least 10 different things so that the people know that it's them, and they know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I teach the client how to now connect in. And for anyone listening today, you know, simply by getting really quiet and maybe having a journal out in a pen, and thinking about your animal, and being in a happier vibration. If you're in grief, it's pretty hard to get to that happy vibration. But thinking about your animal, and think that's past, and think about 5 or 6 like fabulous qualities of that animal, that will raise your vibration enough. At the same time, they'll lower their vibration a little bit. And the next thing you know, you just write down everything that comes in your mind as your thoughts. Because when I do my work, I don't hear their voice. I hear my voice in my head,
mm-hmm.
and I just jot it down. And so then you just write down as fast as you can what you get, and then I ask people to, like, 20 minutes later, read it over, and you'll know it's not the way you write, it's not the way you normally think, and you'll know that what's being said is coming from another place. And you can ask your animal questions, and they're there. They still have their emotional connection with you that they had when they left.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So part of I hear this is a little bit, you have to trust yourself too, or trust what you're getting, which I would imagine would take over time.
Yes. I practiced animal communication for 4 years before I went out there and said, okay, this is what I do. So I practiced with tons of animals for about 4 years to just be comfortable with what I was getting. Now, when it's your own animal, it's a lot easier because they're there, you know, they know you. You know, for me to do other people's animals, it's pretty amazing. I love it. It's very amazing. There's thousands of us out there in the United States. There's over 100 books on the subject. And it's cutting edge today, but it will be mainstream, I believe, in the next few years. Hello?
Barbara?
Yes.
Okay. Boy, I don't know. Maybe we should press the help button. I don't know what's going on here. But just to complete that thought, you practiced for 4 years before you...
I practiced with lots of people's animals, friends, and different people before I started charging for my services. And mm-hmm. a lot of that is, and many animal communicators will do that, just getting ourselves... clear on that what we're getting, you know, and being able to interpret it for the humans.
Mm-hmm.
And the practice just helps. The biggest thing about communicating with an animal is completely clearing your brain and your mind and your mm-hmm. body of all other thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Do you find people have, like, preconceived ideas, perhaps, about that can block, like, oh, they must be thinking this or feeling this? Do you find that people have to clear themselves of that?
When it's their own animal?
Yes.
That can happen.
Because I was going to say, that could be difficult, you know.
But, you know, one of your people in chat room, Espavo, Brenda, she mm-hmm. Is a friend of mine, and I have taught her what I know, and out of a lot of practice that she does, she is able to connect with her animals and connect with other animals that she cares for. And it's pretty amazing. A lot of it is believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a big area... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, a big area... Go ahead. I was just going to say, do you feel that they want to connect with us and talk to us? They want us to talk more?
Yes. Yeah. I feel that animals definitely want to be heard. And they have a lot to say. And that leads us kind of into today what we're talking about as animals and as teachers and healers. And if you think about it, remember that the Native people, Native Americans, they all honored the consciousness of everything, from a rock, an ant, mm-hmm. a horse, whatever it was. And they relied on the animals, the wolves, the horses, all the animals that showed themselves, they relied on them to understand what was happening, what they needed to know. They relied on them for information from other groups that maybe were 100 miles away that they couldn't travel to, but the wolf could. and they saw them as a soul connection, and they would just sit and ask, and whatever they got as information, they felt was coming from the animal. And we have changed that as humans because we're not in our soul as much as natives, maybe Native Americans were. We're in our ego. So we're in the busyness of being a human, whereas animals are in their soul, and they love us to come back to the soul level, and that can help us. Are you there, Michelle? No, I can't hear you. I'll call back.
Barbara?
Yes.
Boy, I don't know what is going on.
Okay.
Everybody, Mercury retrograde start. Were you talking about
I'm reading on the chat room that I can stay on when you get cut off, so I'm going to continue talking, and they can
great.
Tell me in the chat room if I get cut off.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
And so,
perfect.
Anyway, where are we?
Yeah. Oh, well, okay, the Native Americans. But we did have one question in the chat from Kurt, is that are we connecting more on an emotional level with our animal friends? Is that the link? Obviously, we're spiritually connected, but are we connecting in emotionally, I guess, is that our way we tie in, I guess?
Oh, okay. The way that, yes, emotionally we do, and the way is it's truly a heart-to-heart connection. So I hope that would answer that question. It is emotional. It is amazing the amount of people that when I start the connection, and we can just be talking about regular things, and they start crying, the humans, because they cannot believe it. You know, because they have not given me any information. I start telling them what the animal's saying to me, and their heart is opening, and they're not even aware of it, and it makes them cry. And just because they're so touched by, I didn't know that all this time. And what happens is whereas many people have seen the animal as something that we dominate, animals don't want to be dominated, and all of a sudden they have this session, and they're realizing that we're pretty much equals, and we need to respect each other as equals. And I'm talking about domestic animals as well as wild animals. It is harder to connect into a wild animal. I mean, not harder, but you need to sit there and pay attention, whereas a domestic animal is used to depending on humans for food, so they're constantly listening to what's going on and sending thoughts so that they can make sure their needs are met. And wild animals do have a lot to say to us and a lot to show us. And I believe that all animals are on this planet for the purposes of helping and assisting the humans. And it's funny.
Now, do you find... Go ahead. It's funny.
No, I was going to say, it's funny that we... and when I say we, that many humans, and I used to be this way, see animals as below us. But at the same time, they have better hearing than we do. They have a better sense of smell. They have better ways to adapt to pain and injury. They have all these different parts of them that are so much more advanced than we are. And at the same time, we see them as, you know, humans are on top, and and we're going to build here, and you need to move out, or whatever it is.
That's a really good point. Now, at this time, because, you know, I touched on earlier about this, you know, individual and collective shift that's happening, do you find that animals are becoming we're more aware of them, and I say we as a collective, becoming more aware because they are our teachers, and maybe they will become more in more of an overt teaching capacity. Maybe more people will begin to know
absolutely.
That they are really, you do, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think their time has come. And so the examples would be just the compassion levels that when something's now, 10 years ago, you would not be hearing about all these things about animals in the news. It's raising mm-hmm. compassion. People are standing up for animals in shelter. People are, they're just, even when it comes to, think about it, in the oceans, the animals and the compassion that people have is able to stop companies that used to be able to go out and drill in the ocean without a question. It slows them down for 10 to 20 years because people's compassion for the animals. So all of this, the animals are here to serve. And so what happens to them, I believe, they're willing to give up their lives and anything they need to do for us to learn. And at the same time, the great service that they've been to us is it's awakening us, just like your group. The animals will put their lives at risk to show us what's going on. And like Espavo has this, she did a meditation, and part of her meditation that she sent me was, she said, I believe that dogs, horses, and cats were always willing to be domesticated to some extent, because they loved us and wanted to be a part of our lives. She said, I believe the change occurred when the humans began thinking of the animals as lower beings. Animals at one time were not dependent upon humans for food or shelter. In actuality, they're still not dependent on humans for food or shelter. They can run away. And she said, just look at the feral cats. Now, feral cats are not dependent on our assistance, though they're very grateful, but they would actually survive without it. And so it's just really interesting how we've taken animals and we brought them into domesticating them, and then we create them as lower beings, which they're not. And so the consciousness is changing on that. And it sounds like I've lost Michelle once again. I'm going to jump off and call back in. Michelle?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying another way. Let's see if this...
That's okay. So when I'm on, if I kept talking, are you able to get back in?
Yes. And you
okay.
kept talking?
Okay. And I won't hang up. I won't hang up.
No. I'm able... if you're on the switchboard in another way, it's able to... they are excited to finally get to tell us what we don't hear from them. Oh, yes. That's true. Yeah. Do you find that, actually, Barbara, that the animal beings now are excited to be able to, that more people are listening to them?
Yes. I think that, yes, it's really helping them out. Like, for instance, right after I'll do an animal communication, many of the animals will have a different behavior with their people, more loving, just like, thanks so much for getting me that I connect. And at the same time, animals are, they're just soulful beings who live in the moment. They have unconditional love and forgiveness. So whatever happens, happens. But if they can get us to understand that they have messages for us, that they're here to assist us, and to understand that they're demonstrating things that we need to know about our lives, you know, and ways of being. What they're demonstrating is get out of ego and just get down to the soul and the heart of the matter.
Mm.
So,
of course, they have this. You know, naturally, and it seems from what I'm hearing from you is that that's part of the evolution is us listening to them and getting this message and living from this way of being. You know. You said earlier about, you know, the unconditioned love, or that they're just, you know, they prefer obviously more, you know, heartfelt connection, you know, more awareness, but they also, they don't hold on like humans to, for the most part, you know.
Right.
To,
they are, yes, they are big forgivers. And so what they would like is for us to, they would like us to know, like if you have a dog that comes over and just, you know, loves you up no matter what, they want us to know how fabulous we are and that no matter what mm-hmm. is going on, that they totally love us. And there's nothing we could do, even for people that are mean to animals, there's nothing we could really do for them to not love us.
Mm.
They just wouldn't. And
well,
because
they
so,
don't hold grudges, right? That's another thing that's pretty amazing is they don't, really, for the most part, I mean, unless they're really down and then it's kind of out of fear, but it seems that they don't hold grudges like humans do.
No, they don't. And so that is, I believe, it is because they, when they release, when something happens, they immediately release. I mean, you could see it in a dog park or horses, when a horse kicks another horse. They always release what happened, they forgive, and they go ahead and live again from their soul. Whereas for humans, we something happens and we go to ego. And animals don't really have ego. So we go into ego and we can't get back to our happy place until we calm down or whatever we need to do. So we love to control our environment. But animals do not need to control their environment because they're so present in the moment, they just look for what's
wow.
the next moment got.
Wow, that is amazing. That is now that's really interesting what you say, that they actually go to, they go to the soul. You know, normally, yeah, we go to the ego and soul.
Yes, and so,
yeah.
And also, another thing would be that they, they're here to show us that show your emotions. Don't hide how you're feeling in the moment. You know, show your emotions. And they show us so many things. So that would be one. And then the other would be always have unconditional love for yourself and others, no matter what. And a big one is remove yourself from the situation if it's not working.
Hmm.
They don't have to retaliate. Animals will, they will defend themselves, and then they will remove themselves from the situation.
Mm.
And I'm talking about wild animals.
Yeah, you were, I was just going to go, wow, now that's very psychic of you. I was just honing in on that, Barbara. There was something you had mentioned before, but if you thought about your wild animal for a moment.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I have a little... I have a little group activity that we can do, and everyone, all you need to do is just take a breath and relax, maybe close your eyes, and I'd like you to think about your favorite wild animal. Just think about a picture of what the first wild animal that comes to your mind, the favorite one, and think about three or four words that describe the things that you like about that wild animal. And just three or four words. And then think about three or four words about that wild animal that you don't particularly care for or you might not like. And so you have three or four words that you like about that animal, three or four words that you don't particularly care for. So you got six or eight words. And what I'd like you to now do with those words is apply those words to yourself. Do any of those words describe you as a person, some things that you like about yourself, some things that maybe you don't like so much about yourself? Because your soul picked that animal when we did it, and the qualities that you like or do not like can show you a lot about yourself if you're open to that possibility.
Mm.
So, Michelle, can you tell us what you came up with?
Well, duck. I'm near ducks. But I couldn't really think of anything that I didn't, interesting enough, because of a sign. It probably would have been a snake or something. I could have thought of some things I didn't like a rattler. But the duck,
okay.
To me, they're family-oriented, group-oriented, loving. I just love how they kind of swim together. I love their adaptability in the city because they can feel if there should be, if they should be afraid or not. Like, for instance, when I walk my dog, I can even tell them, like, it's okay, she's not going to run, she's not going to get you. And they won't. They'll get it. They won't fly away or fly into the street. They might move away a bit, but don't go into fear.
Yeah, and so does that in any way describe any parts of your personality?
Oh, very much. And I would have never thought that, but yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And so you can use that with other animals too, because there's probably 1,000 words that could describe any animal, but the words that you immediately come to your mind and that you think to yourself are they're mirroring for you, they're showing you, or your soul picked that animal to show you some fabulous things about yourself.
Mm. Now, do you find that when you're connecting, let's say, especially with wild animals, that in a sense can be a message, a soul communication in that moment, if people would do this exercise?
Yeah. And especially, okay. I like that you can get any negative, because that, to me, I get a sense from you saying that pretty much you're on a positive spin with things that are going on in your life, because you're not seeing the negative being reflected back to you. Another person is the same animal, and they might have sat there and thought of things.
Yeah, I couldn't. I was like trying in my brain to kind of like think, there's got to be a negative. What don't you like? The only thing that flashed a little bit was their pooping. But then I thought, yay, but poop is poop. They have to go somewhere. But for the most part, I couldn't get a negative with them because they're just, I don't know, I have an affinity with them. And now actually egrets, and sometimes we'll have pelicans also.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just in awe of how certain animals adapt to the city that were once in the wild, and now they find a pond or a lake or a canal, and they're just living right amongst all of us, the cars, the bicycles, people all around. We have raccoons too that do that. And I think I enjoy watching, and seeing in between the people, the animals that are surviving, and how are they surviving? I kind of respect that adaptability and that humbleness, that they're just kind of, okay, this is what I have now. This is the environment I have now. How can I get along with this?
And there's a lesson, another lesson. So, yes, in
the chat about cockroaches.
You're talking about cockroaches, but they're also talking about spiders. And, I absolutely love spiders, and except the hairier ones, but I help them outside. But spiders represent, and there's lots of different things you can look up on the internet, spiders represent creativity for us. And and so what I want to suggest to people is, if there's a particular animal that stands out for you, I ask you to consider looking up on the internet more information about that animal. And one of the ways that I teach people, if they want to talk to an animal, if you're outside and you're with a squirrel and you get real quiet, you can say questions like, how long do you live? And then you can write it down. And how many babies do you have? And where do you go at night? And can you see at night? You can ask a whole bunch of questions of an animal, write down what you feel your responses were,
then go get on the internet and look it up. And if you're right 80% of the time, you're connecting to wild animals.
Wow.
You know, and spiders, you just need to get quiet, clear your head, and start asking questions. And their answers come back pretty quickly. And they don't have to be looking at you. You'll tune into them, they'll tune into you. So anyway, I'd love to hear if anyone else got anything on that exercise. It's also interesting to note when animals appear in front of you that don't belong in your neighborhood. For instance, if a white crane or if some animal shows up that's not normally in your neighborhood or crosses in front of your car, looks at you and keeps going, these animals can have messages for you. And it can help to jump on the internet and look at what they're about, how they live, what they, you know, things like that. Or later in the day, you can just think about that animal and see what thoughts come to you.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I do believe that the animals on the...
That brings more inclusiveness. We're being more inclusive with what you're saying, Barbara. It's like we're, you know, inviting all beings, all, you know, opening that communication. We might have a call. We have a couple people online. Let me just go without getting here. Let's see. Caller. I'm really having trouble with the. I'm trying to get to 970-275 caller. I don't know if you're just listening or if you have a question.
Hello.
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 Hi, this is Gary Moore. How are you doing?
Hey,
great.
Gary. Hi.
This
welcome.
Is a great
thank you
topic.
For hanging. Thanks. Well, thank you for hanging in there in the chat room as well. And meet Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
I love their topic. I come from a Native American background, Lakota Sioux Indian, and I have an uncle that's a medicine man up on the reservation in South Dakota. So I understand the kindred spirit between people and animals that way. And a lot of people are coming out with angel shows and angel advocates and different things like that. And I don't know from angels. to me, the angels, my angels have been eagle and crow and hawk and spider and bear and, you know, various different, those have been what the Lakota call spirit helpers, and you do get messages from these animals, and they have taught me all along a lot of different ones, and one of my biggest ones I would like to share, if you wouldn't mind, is the spider. You were talking about the spider a moment ago.
Yes.
And I've always been a magician, you know, doing close-up magic and stuff like that, you know, card tricks and coins and silliness, you know. And I used to go to the Sundance camps and the Vision Quest camps up on the res, and my uncle, and I'd, you know, be doing tricks for kids, you know, the kids would gather around, I'd vanish a coin, you know, and pull it out from behind their ear and different things, you know, and they'd, you know, have a wonderful time. And my uncle would walk by. And he would say, "How Iktomi, Iktomi." Iktomi means spider in Lakota. And then he'd walk away, and I would say, no, I don't want nothing to do with no Iktomi medicine, you know. So, and that went on for a long time, and I resisted it, you know. And then one summer, although this was about 5 years ago now, I got bit by a brown recluse spider on the top of my foot. And it put the medicine right in me. Immediately it got my attention. And it was a shift. It was a shift in my consciousness to, from the rejection of it to the acceptance of it, you know, accepting of it. And it put me down. You know, I got the fever. I got a real bad infection on my foot. I had to get several shots and go to the doctor. I almost had to get a skin graft to get it repaired. But what happened was, It shifted my consciousness toward acknowledging and accepting that my spirit helper, which has been Iktomi. And Iktomi is a trickster in Lakota folklore. They help you to laugh at yourself and
they
help
do.
You not to take yourself so seriously. And that has kind of been a little story about what happened to me in spider medicine, stuff like that. And I still have a scar on my foot, and I put a tattoo on my arm in acknowledgement of the Ictomy now. So,
wow. No, I think it's great that they got your attention.
It gets your attention, you know. Yeah, yeah. And what you resist persists. You know, it's the law of attraction. And I resisted it for a long time. Well, Ictomy said, no.
Yeah.
I have other ideas.
That's right. You will take the medicine one way or another. That's it. It's because the medicine is the helper. It's the peace that we all need, you know.
Yeah,
wow. It is.
That's great.
Gary, I have a question for you. Gary?
Okay.
Are you there? Yeah, the question, you said that you hear what the animals are saying, and I was just wondering if you could share with all of us how that is for you, if they're just thoughts or if you hear it. How does that happen for you?
Oh, boy. Several different ways. I'm not sure if they're thoughts or if they're telepathic messages or whatever. I call them messages or whatever. They've come to me in a lot of different ways. You know, I'm not the kind of person, first of all, that remembers their dreams every night, you know. But when I do, they come through as like visions, you know. And I've had Eagle come through to me like that before. And Eagle, and I'm going all strictly from the Lakota folklore standpoint, because that is what I've learned, you know. In the Lakota, the eagle is the noblest bird in creation. They are a direct messenger between you and God, or you and your holy higher self, or whatever you want to call it. So whatever messages you have, the eagle will carry it directly on its back up to source, up to God. And that has come to me many times in the dreams and the visions of the eagle, and I've always struggled with feeling worthy of being that recipient of that high of a medicine or whatever. And they say, no, I'm coming for you. I'm talking to you, and it made it very clear to me personally. You know, and it's very abstract, it's very personal, as spiritual things are. That is how they have communicated with me. And the crow is another one. Crow just, whenever I'm down in the dumps or feeling blue or something, crow comes around and just tells me it's all right, everything's all right. You know, pick your heart up and move forward, move on, because everything's okay. So there are a lot of different messages, and they're all very personal to me, as to what the animals are communicating to me, and what they say, their messages, and so forth.
Excellent. I want you to share that just so people know it's, you know, like when you said crow, you can just, whatever you're feeling at the moment, you can say, do you have a message for me, to the animal?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know, and they can bring it forward, especially when you said crow.
Be open.
Crows are
yeah,
so fabulous. If a whole bunch show up, you better pay attention. Stop thinking about whatever you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the idea is to, what message do you have for me? And it'd be open to the message. It's just completely open yourself. You know, in Lakota we have a phrase, a saying that is called Mitakuye Oyasin. I don't know if you've ever heard that. Mitakuye Oyasin, and what it means is all my relations. I mean, that's the direct translation. But the essence of the meaning is we are all related. In other words, I'm related to everything. I'm related to the rock. I'm related to the tree. I'm related to the animals. I'm related to the earth and everything in it. And that's been a lifetime journey, is to uncover that meaning, the meaning of that phrase, Mitakuye Oyasin. But it is said all the time. It's said like amen after a prayer. Instead of amen, they say Yasin. And that's what it means. We're all related. And we are. We truly are all one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
love
think that awareness is becoming, or will be, become more and more mainstream. That's what this is, you know, about. And it's looking around, it's noticing, but it's also teaching this to children. It's also having an fabric of our being so that you know to look, you know to listen, you know to pay attention. There's another, you know, from the Cherokee, pay attention. You know to pay attention. You're always paying attention.
Pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention.
I could tell you story after story of animals telling me to pay attention.
Yeah. Well, my mom used to tell me that. What is around you? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? Pay attention. It's interesting. We're always receiving from God or all that is or Great Spirit. We're always receiving the messages we need in so many different forms. It's just, you know, most have not been taught to pay attention. That, you know, may come through a sound, a song, you know, an animal being. It may come from, you know, a billboard. I mean, most know that, but it may come through somebody else talking to you and speaking something. So it's interesting to me that that this is becoming more prevalent. I think I look at that as giving hope to our future and to the evolution, the part of the evolution or the awakening that we're in.
Exactly.
Like Barbara working, right? Yeah. So,
Gary, that's great, and I love you said what essence, like animals are angels on earth,
yeah.
Is what I feel. And from what you were saying, and they are, and they're available if we're interested, and if we're not, they bite us on the foot. They're not available.
If they really have a message to deliver, they'll do that. Yeah, they'll get your attention whatever way and whatever time is right. You know, before you get it. You know?
Because frankly, your soul is probably asking for the help. And what Michelle was saying about to be aware of billboards and license plate frames and bumper stickers. You know, if we ask what's the message for me and then we just try to get out of our head, we can have lots of different messages show up from animals and other things that are out there.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. A lot of times it will be an animal. I know for me, every time, and I was initiated in rock medicine and animal medicine, so every time I will workshop, whatever the focus of the workshop is, I will see animal beings reflecting that. It's even an owl where owls were not supposed to be, even a hawk flying over, an osprey dropping a white feather. I mean, it's like it goes from the you know, common occurrence to the sublime. And I think it's because just being in alignment and asking and looking. You know, I remember doing one workshop on, Barbara? It is asking and it's looking too. I mean, you have to ask, but you also have to look.
Right. It's being aware and it's also being present. And then what I believe, and it's, I hope everyone can start to believe that every single thing that happens is on purpose.
Mm.
And so every animal that presents themselves to you is doing it on purpose, and they're patient. Now, this can be wild animals. It can be animals in the shelter. So it's on purpose. And that took me a long time to get through my head that the bees, I had bees that came into my cottage about 4 years back, and they were these little black and yellow bees, and none of the beekeepers would come to take them because they weren't the kind of bees that make honey. So my options were to let them stay, they were right in the attic, or to have them exterminated, which did not work for me. And so I kept asking for an answer, and I called one of these companies, and the woman said, no, we can't come take them, but honey, they're only going to be there 3 months. And I was like, 3 months?
Oh.
So when I hung up, she was right. They're only going to be there 3 months. So I investigated it. So I fixed it so they had to stop coming into my cottage. And every night I'd hear them buzzing up there, and I'd watch them in and out. And 4 months later, they left. 10 years ago, it would have been.
Because of their cycle? Was this just their cycle, Barbara? Or
yeah, they just come and then they hang out for a certain time of the season, and those particular bees leave. But, you know, 10 years ago when I was stressed out in corporate America, they would have been done in about 3 hours. I would have phoned someone and said, get these out of here. And I've just changed to say, wait a minute, these things are for me to know. And it was interesting because so many people thought it was bizarre that I wasn't going to invite people over to my cottage at that time. And I got a lot of time to just be quiet with myself, which turned out to be what needed to happen. And to honor and respect another group of animals, to allow them. And I really couldn't tell a lot of people about it because they thought it was bizarre. And, you know, it's not city living when you do something like that. So we're all slowing down to, little by little, to hear what the animals have to say. And
I like that. And so you brought that in, so you were able to go more within because of that situation. So instead of looking at it as a negative, it actually worked for your soul's growth and unfoldment, you know, to be able to pull back. That's great.
And I spent most of my life afraid of bees until, you know, when they come in and they nest, then they come into the house, they cruise around. It's a little black, soft one. I mean, they probably would never hurt you. And they were around. I would wake up in the morning, be one in here and one there. So I did get past my fear. And so I'm not sure all the things that they had to teach me, but I needed to get clear on it was on purpose. Everything that happens to us is on purpose, whether we want to take that to heart or not.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of a story that, again, a workshop, actually one that I had participated in, and then I thought it was synchronistic. It was very synchronistic, but during the workshop, the person had said about snake medicine. Somebody had put in the chat, so I'm bringing this up, and I just said that, you know, I had quite a snake medicine. I was using that, and I was in the city for transformation, and then I ended up doing a workshop out in the sticks, which I'd done workshops there before, nothing, you know, a retreat, and I happened to be working, person flew in to work with me, and again, it came up with snake medicine. Well, and I don't mind snakes, but rattlers, I'm not fond, you know, I'm frightened of, I guess, is the best way to. We're out in the middle, like 500, 600 feet, which doesn't sound a lot from the lot that we're staying in, but it's a lot when it's dusk, and all of a sudden, this rattler came out and started rattling, and we looked around and realized that we were in like a little snake haven. They were starting to come out, and they were coming out from the rocks. And the woman that I was working with, she said, "Oh, you have a lot of snake medicine, you know." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. I didn't expect it to happen this way, but it was interesting because we ended up having to do a certain walk, and it came from my guide." A certain walk that created a certain vibration on Earth so that the snakes would actually move away and give a give us a clear path. And if anybody ever gets caught around snakes, it's a little, you know, doot, 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 almost like drums. And you just start, and it puts out a wonderful vibration that you're coming through. Basically, you know, you mean no harm. And it got us through that whole thing. I'll tell you, that 500 yards, 600 yards, I thought it was miles. I mean, I was, what could you do? You had to rely on spirit, you know. I was like praying, chanting, what do we do? Oh, God, it was funny. The people that I was with, they were looking at me like, oh, Michelle, you know, you're the one that, you're the leader, the workshop, but you're shaman trained. I'm like, yeah, I'm city shaman trained. This is different, you know. But I just tuned in, and what the guides came through and just said, do this motion, you know. And you had to release the fear, you know, also, because the problem is that when you put out the fear, it goes to them, and they respond in a way like something is going to happen to them. Like if another animal being is fearful, that they probably will attack. So to just really release that fear and get into a rhythm. So, yeah. So, Gary, I just,
and to,
you know, that
to relax.
To relax.
Yeah.
Gary, I've been told that rattlesnakes and other snakes when they're in the presence of someone of Native American, you know, someone that believes on the soul-to-soul level, I've been told that they do not coil up. They just relax in the energy. Is that true?
That has been my experience, yeah. I've never had them coil up and strike at me. And it's pretty much the same thing, I think. When we walk as though we're all one with one another in our heart, you know, when we walk in that balance and in that beauty, they're not going to coil up and get it. That has been my experience. And I've come across rattlesnakes. I grew up in Arizona where they're pretty prevalent. And I don't recall any of them ever being coiled up and ready to strike at me. And I ran into several of them. It was about just being in balance and moving away, you know, allowing them to move away. You know, they're gonna put distance between you and them as well. And sometimes, you know, you just stop what you're doing and let them crawl away and just not freak out, you know, like so many people do.
Exactly. Don't go here.
Well, to do
when we're truly.
Yeah.
And that, and I kind of put out this mindset, I think, of snakes are tasty because I'm an Indian. I'll eat anything. That's part of it, you know. And, you know, they're pretty tasty, so they don't want to hang around with me too much longer, you know. So that's just another dynamic, you know. It's another part of the dynamic when it comes to being an Indian, anyway. You'd be surprised. And done well on.
It is that being one and finding that, connecting into that rhythm of the all that is, you know, the rhythm of the one.
Exactly.
And I feel too, what is your thought, both of you, on this, is that, again, I just feel that, and that's why I'm so happy you were able to be on, Barbara, because you're really a bridger. You're living this and helping others live this more. It's for people to get back in tune or in touch, and I know it sounds cliche-ish, but, you know, we are all one and out with each species, so, you know, it's only going to help the awakening if more people are noticing, you know, especially people in the city. That seems to be, like, I don't know, they tend to kind of tune nature out, which is a sense tuning themselves out. So I think if even they can start tuning into the animals that they see around them, the animal beings, as well as the ones that they live with, you know. Do you see more people, Barbara, open to this?
Well, I see people, yes. I like to always think that I see people always opening up to it. When you were talking, I also see that the animals will do things that are getting the people to open up. So an example in San Francisco with the tiger that, for anyone who doesn't know, the tiger was in the zoo. These boys were tormenting him and doing all this stuff and throwing stuff into the cage. And the tiger jumped over the 13-foot fence and went after one of the boys. And this happened in San Francisco, I guess, last year, maybe the year before. No, last year. And so that tiger risked its, you know, gave up its life to show whatever needed to be shown, because a lot of attention got put on zoos and should we have tigers in zoos and, you know, all these different things that came to be and should we treat them this way. And the point of the whole story that I love is that tiger lived behind that fence for 10 years and knew he could always jump over it, and he never did.
Mm.
You know, he always knew he could do it. And then you have on other parts of the world, dolphins are beaching themselves in mass suicide, you know, situations. And then that gets in the news. And then everybody's out there going, what's wrong with the water? What's happening with this? So the animals are absolutely willing to help us to understand, you know, what they need and to help teach us and to get us to connect more in with them. So with all that, I'm talking about the city folks that you were kind of responding to that maybe just really aren't in touch with what's happening. But, you know, across
they become more, because of this story, they become more aware So it's bringing to into their more consciousness.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
It's assisting the people that people on this call, we're all in touch and we're doing our best to pay attention. And so another thing is that, like, across the United States, they're saying now more single people are choosing to be single and pulling in an animal into their life than ever before. And their one or two or three animals are enough to keep them pleased with life and complete. And so the animals are really doing a huge service, you know, all across the United States. There's just amazing things that are happening. People are no longer afraid of shelters and getting dogs out and all the different things like that. So the word's out there. But right now, to me, it's kind of more of, it's at that crisis point where we really do have to get more people to jump over to the other side and understand that how important it is that we take care of the animals and help them.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And the awareness is coming about, I think, of humanity opening their eyes. At least I'm totally creating that. Humanity opening their eyes to the fact that we are all one, that we are all related.
And I think you can tell a lot by how a person is with animal beings, even plants or trees, but let's stick with animal beings right now, how they connect with them, how they're connected to themselves and others, you know, can be very telling.
Yes, man's
attitude.
As well
as very healing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, so human's attitude towards animals is actually, where I've read, is their attitude towards themselves.
Yeah.
So if you think about how you can treat other animals, it's sort of, in a way, how you're judging yourself and how you treat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. And then I have a quote here.
Go ahead. Well, no, Barbara, did you have finish the thought? We had a question in the chat I was just going to ask you.
Well, I have this quick quote here that was from Wayne Dyer, and it is that the more stop to – sorry about that. Hold on. That's me. The more that you stop to observe and learn from animals, the healthier a philosophy of life you are likely to have. And that's from Wayne Dyer. The more you stop to observe and learn from the animals, the healthier a philosophy of life you are likely to have.
Mm.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful. That is, that is something I do, and I think anyone can do this, you know, whether you have more wild animals around or if it's simply birds, you know, what I find is I'll do, you know, an awareness meditation or walking meditation, just being in awareness. And literally sometimes if I'm feeling a little off or I know something new is coming in or I just get the intuition to just do this, is I will actually go and seek them out, you know, seek the animal beings. And just go walk amongst them. Sometimes with birds, what I'll do is feed them, and I'll just stand still and have them just fly around me, and I will just connect into their rhythm. And I don't know, I think it could be something that some of our listeners may want to do, is because they're always in a natural rhythm. And so whether a walk at the beach or, you know, hiking or, you know, a walk in a park or somewhere where you know that there will be these animal beings, just to go there consciously. And, like, I guess the phrase for the day is pay attention, is just to go and pay attention. I find it can a lot of clarity, insight, but I definitely always feel some kind of shift or, you know, a remembering again about that oneness, the connecting back in. And I think it's a gift. They're there for us, you know. They're there. You know, they like to spend time with us and commune with us.
Mm-hmm. And I think you hit on a key word there too, Michelle, and that is remembering. We're beginning to remember that we are one, that we are all related. And we're waking up to that awareness.
Mm. Yeah, I agree, Gary. And I think it's a continually, consistently, because I think, you know, we have it in certain times of our life, but to come to live in that space of continual awareness that we are all one and acting from that space, I think, you know, as Barbara has been saying, one of the teachings and healings from the animal beings specifically, they don't lose that. They've never lost that, you know. They've never lost that.
Mm-hmm.
No, they never lost that remembering and living from that space.
Exactly. They've been aware. They're aware of it all along. And I love that she said that they are forgivers. You know, they do forgive. And they forgive us, and they understand the cycle of life as they live it as well. And each one's role in the life. You know, and the thing about paying attention. You know, when I used to go on the hill. My uncle would put me on the hill and do a thing called a humblecha or a vision quest, where I'd fast and pray out in the elements for 4 days, no food, no water, and receive, you know, visions and different things from spirit that way. You know, you don't have to do it that way, but I did.
Right, okay.
And the first time I was out, they put me up in the Hochoka, and I found a place where I was going to be for the 4 days outside, you know. And I had been there for about the first couple of hours, you know. This is my first year, my first time out there, and I'm looking around, you know, wondering, okay, what am I going to, you know, kind of anticipating what's going to happen to me, you know. And I looked down at my feet, and there were ants all over the place where I had stopped. And they began talking to me. And what they said was, pay attention. Pay attention as you walk, you know.
Mm.
So, and I thought, oh, boy, I'm going to have to share my space now with these ants for 4 days, you know. But what eventually happened is they picked up and they moved on and they didn't bother me. So that was the first message I ever got was to pay attention.
Pay attention. Yeah. That's...
Yeah.
It is the message, though. It is the message from what all comes from. Barbara, one last
really
thing
is.
For you. We're winding down here, but I wanted to touch on this because Kurt has asked if, from your experience, when animal beings, and specifically we're thinking talking about dogs, look and cats, look off, are they seeing other dimensionally?
There's two things that can be going on, and because, for instance, so yes, and they can also be listening to, so they look off and they can be listening to something. So the examples would be when I am talking to a dog and I'm on the telephone and I have a photo, the person can experience their dog just looking away and looking off. And at the same time, they can be connecting to a dog that's outside on the street. They can be shooting messages to other animals in the household. And while I'm connecting with animals, people will say, can you tell me why she sits by the doorway and stares at this curtain? And I can ask her, maybe a kitty cat, and I can describe what they're seeing. So I can describe that they're seeing a black and white kitty cat. I've had people that will, so yes, they can see spirits from the other side. So I've had people that have animals that will sit, a dog or a cat, in the hallway and look into a doorway. And I can describe humans, like a man and what he's wearing and a littler woman. And then the person will tell me, oh, that's my father and grandmother, they live in the house, they're ghosts, or whatever it is. So I do believe, I won't say that all animals always see it, but I do believe that a lot of animals are seeing and interacting with animals from the other side, especially if they've been with those animals before.
Okay, great.
And they don't have had to be with that animal at the same house, you know. So.
Okay.
Yes, everything
well,
49 is
49 seconds. I've posted again. People are just loving you in the chat. Yes, I will have her back on again, and hopefully this text with BTR is handled. I thank all of you for hanging in there. Gosh, we just received such amazing information from you, Barbara, as well as loving energy, and so appreciate it. Those of you who want to connect in with Barbara, you can go to animalcommunicationplus.com. That's animalcommunicationplus.com, and it's also in the chat. And Gary, thank you too for sharing. This just was wonderful.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, Gary, you were great. And thank you, Michelle. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
thank you, Barbara.
Wonderful. This is we did well, and thanks for everybody persevering through these tech challenges.
I think it was a Skype problem, actually. I don't think it was Blog Talk. I just think it was your Skype connection, Michelle.
Oh, really? I've been off.
I thought
yes.
It was the earthquake and
yeah.
The other thing.
I'm familiar with Blog Talk and the way it sounds and different things, you know, and I'm kind of a technical guy too. So I think that was basically all your problem was your Skype connection.
Oh, because it kept,
so anyway.
It kept going. Yeah, okay. Because it kept going. It's still been going out.
Uh-huh.
I've still been
losing
it.
I think it's your Skype.
No, I'm off of Skype, though.
Oh, you are? Well, no wonder you've held on for
so
long.
Yeah, I've been off of Skype. But still doing it. I've been doing some other little tech, behind-the-scenes tech stuff that you guys have not been aware of. So, anyway, okay.
Oh, you got to love technology.
Yeah, great to connect with all of you. And until next time, keep finding your light and keep awake. Peace and blessings.